All right, back to our notes here on page 6 of your notes. We're dealing with here the statement in this address to these men scattered in the among these congregations in the areas specified in verse 1 of chapter 1. And these individuals arose up who had the gift, and I don't know how they got trained. I don't know how they got prepared for this. Those are questions that I have to see in the afterlife. We have seen I want to pick up on this. Things you're to do and not do in the exercise of your ministry. You're not to do it under compulsion. Bad mental attitude. Believe me, I've had to fight mine sometimes. You have to get it right. Not under compulsion. Voluntarily. According to the will of God. That'll be outlined for you in Scripture. How you exercise your shepherding function with regard to the congregation. Not lording it over those. All right, we pick up those. This is very important. Those allotted to your charge. Who makes the allotment, do you suppose? God does. God makes the allotment. He matches up the individuals with their right pastor. Now you all recognize or should recognize with regard to the subject of the will of God, there is a geographical will. Where does God want me to live? There's an operational will. What does God want me to do in a given set of circumstances? There's the viewpoint will of God. What does God want me to think about? Fill in the blank. So, those that are separated from a pastor teacher due to, well, in this day and time, suppose someone was out there in Netherland and is on YouTube and listening to these Bible classes. And they hear about this. Well, you need to get under face-to-face teaching. Oh, that's fine out there. But here's the problem. If it was just the academic information about the Bible, but you are not on the playing field. You see, you can go out here and practice and work out and in some sport, you know, but until you're on a team and participating, you're not in the game. I'm going to exclude exceptions where it's beyond someone's control. They're an invalid or they're hospitalized or whatever. Okay, fine on that. Then they're off the hook on that. You can't be expected to do something you can't do. But you need to be in a local assembly, not some substitute. And because in a local assembly, one, you interact with like-minded believers. Two, you are able to function under your gift towards that body, whatever your gift is. You get to do communion with them, which you can't do at your house by buying some stuff and just sitting there and doing it. No. You got to be in a local church. And a viable local church, in this day and time, they're not on every corner. Oh, don't you think, Jack, you can get your crown over there? Shut up. Do you think you can have good health by eating that junk that's out there that's so available to people? Do you think your health will be good just because you can chew it and swallow it? Give me a break. It says in the Bible, in John, if they come to your door and they don't have this doctrine and they're not espousing this, bye-bye, and don't even give them Godspeed. if they're peddling their junk theology. I've been around the block a few times. I know what these churches do and what they teach and what they don't teach. And that's why we're in deep into the Laodicean era, which I was explaining to another believer, is lukewarm. And he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you don't get your act together, the seventh church, the Laodicean one. He said, I'd rather you were cold. That's a shocker, isn't it? I'll bet you someone says, well, just as long as you go to church. You don't do that with other stuff, hopefully. Just pick any old mechanic. Just pick, you know, oh, come on. It has to come highly recommended and it has to fit. You do this with other things, then you're going to run into catastrophes. If they don't teach the same doctrine, same content, and have these awful, all this other stuff, X. I didn't say treat them bad, did I? If you run across one in public or in your work environment, I didn't say treat anybody bad. But we do not give it our stamp of approval. We don't say, oh, well, that's great. I'm so glad you go there. No, I'm not. Any more than I'm glad that a person is out there and an unbeliever. Or glad that at the Olympics, they did a parody of the Lord's Supper with drag queens. You can't make this up. Yeah. You know, Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. Famous painting. And so they have drag queens up there mocking the Lord's table at the Olympics. Who approves this crap? Really? Never mind. I should fully expect it in the last days. It's everywhere. This flaunting of the divine institutions. And another person, that was Beth. She worked for Human Services, the state of Oklahoma. I don't know what the exact categorization is. It doesn't matter. She said, you ought to saw all the different kind of freak stuff that came in here. And she gave me a list of some of these different people and what they were, what their quote sexuality was. Wow. They got mental problems. Sick. And this is what is rampant today. And it's promoted at the highest levels. It isn't just, you know, a bad section of San Francisco, which we've had forever. No, it's promoted from the highest political and academic pulpits. Openly. Devote a whole month to it. Special days. And if you don't agree with it, you're into hate. Well, I hate what God hates. I'm sorry that people are this stupid and corrupt. Maybe that's why there's all these floods and fires and catastrophes in this country. Southern Texas is getting the hell hammered out of them. They can no more get up off the mat and they get flattened again. It is so hot, you wouldn't want to go to Vegas. 115 degree, 10 days in a row. Fires. Some of them are human generated. Some dummies out in the tules with firecrackers. Another one, a guy pushed a burning car into this, and they got this biggest fire in California going. They caught him. He should be 6 feet under by now. They got a monster one in Well, the one in Oregon is half the size of the state of Rhode Island, and it is, and it's barely contained. They got a monster one in the Canadian Rockies, and a beautiful little town up there that was a tourist town, just picturesque, called Jasper. It's gone. More to come, and it's worldwide. There's a verse. The wrath of God is continually being revealed from heaven against the unrighteousness of people. The world hasn't seen anything yet. The trib is around the corner. So make your mark now. Don't let anything trip you up in the final time we have. We may not be looking at each other in this capacity a year from now. We may be looking at each other in our resurrection bodies, and all of us are age 35. And I hope you get the crown. Me too. I'm not sitting up here saying, oh, I got it secured. I don't get it secured until I breathe my last and finish my course and walk across the finish line. They don't win the prize if they don't cross the finish line. So as you see this stuff, you realize, here's another thing in Scripture. I don't know when it started. I don't know if that means it starts with the rapture or it starts before the rapture, but it says, the one who restrains will no longer restrain. The mystery of lawlessness. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. God working in history. They've been pushing these kind of agendas for world government and all this, going clear back. But it always gets shut down, frustrated, and they got to start over again. They tried it at the end of World War I. See, here was the idea. Crank up a war and call for peace. What did our President Wilson say? The war to end all wars. He was a Presbyterian. You don't know any more than that. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars until I return. And then I'll end war on the earth. And now we got a bunch of people running around saying, make America great again. We're going to turn America around. No, you're not. Good intentions, but you're not going to do it. So forget it. And all these evangelicals that run around and promote this stuff. Oh, you skipped over that one, didn't you? You should have had this figured out a long time ago. That the United States isn't going to turn around. Babylon will not be healed. Period. You can still pray for people that they'll buy us time. So we can get there and still have air conditioning. I don't know if I could pass that test. I really don't. I saw they got these little air conditioner units now. They say, oh, cool, whole room down. And you battery charge them up. I don't know. Why did I bring that up? Okay. Now, lauded to their charge. 59. Those words are represented in Greek by the plural noun with the article meaning lot or share of something. The translation of necessity is interpretative. Kleros denotes a lot, L-O-T, e.g. a pebble or a stick, by which decisions were sometimes made. We have flipping a coin. Like this one guy, he was saying, yeah, we're a rock and roll group way back in the day. And one of us couldn't go on the little plane out of Iowa. They flipped a coin. I lose everything. I lost. The plane went down and killed everybody he lived. let you guess who it is. So it is you figure out something, a portion or a share of, in something, land or an inheritance, traditionally assigned by the casting of lots. Matthew 15:24, Acts 1:26. They were trying to determine a replacement for Judas, and they casted lots, and it fell to this one fellow. But he wasn't his replacement. But that was just them trying to help God out. God had Paul in mind. No detraction from the guy that won the deal. It just that is wasn't God's choice. Finally, a share. Okay. Peter's use of ton kleron here must be understood in light of the implied parallelism with the flock at the end of the verse. Allotted to your charge. The flock. So, the pastor teacher has an allotment. He doesn't choose it. He doesn't make it up. God gives him his allotment. And he just does his job. And whoever walks through the doors and shows an interest and sticks, that's another addition to the allotment. So how much clearer can this possibly be? If the flock of God is the church individual, universal, then the chairs are portions of the flock under the care of designated pastor teachers. Each pastor is given a locale, has his allotment, which is determined by the Holy Spirit, who operates under the chief shepherd. God, the Holy Spirit, brings the two together in time. On tupos, example, coming up at the end of the verse, to be an example. The word tupos means an example or a model. See Paul's reference to himself, to his churches in Philippians 3:17, 2 Thessalonians 3:9, to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, and Titus in Titus 2:7. In other words, I set an example before you and you watch me. I'm out of here. I'm going to phase three and you carry on. So the pastor teacher is to be an example to positive volition in a number of areas with regard to his personal life and his public function as a pastor. He's consistent. He's there. He weathers suffering, whatever it is. I am to be an example, a tupos, and we're to be a tupos church. I think we got all the ingredients. We can always make improvements because it involves individuals making application. So I realize that I don't go out. I will witness doctrine to people. I'll talk the Bible to people out. On the rare occasions I have time or I'm around someone, if I detect any sort of interest. Now, people will just say, oh, that's great. Blah, blah. They don't know anything. Okay. Well, what kind of church is it? I go to my favorite restaurant over in Yukon. Oh, what kind of church is it? I give a little short synopsis. Here's how we approach things. We study book by book, verse by verse, doctrine by doctrine. We pick up in the next class where we left off in the previous one. I don't bounce all over the place. I stick, I discipline myself. If it was important enough for God to reveal this information through an individual and have it wind up in a part of the 66 books of the Bible, then I ought to treat it with that kind of respect and teach. But they don't. Do they? No. They bounce all around. Grab two verses here. They may say the truth about it, even if they're given, if they say what is accurate. That is not a good balanced diet. You got to go through the whole. Is that how you read a novel? An article? You might highlight something in it, but you go through it top to bottom. in any discipline and in field. You start with the basics, the ABCs. In the Bible, it's called the milk of the Word of God. And as a child gets some teeth, then they can eat solid food. Those analogies are all through the Bible. All right. Again, it is used of a pattern for believers to follow or not follow, as in the case of 1 Corinthians 10:6. The model church. Oh, there was a model church at that point where this letter was written. About all the churches that were out there, if you wanted to have a model that you wanted to go off of, you went off of the Thessalonians. At that time in history, that was the model church. That was the one. Its founding, its history, what had been through up to this point, its attitude towards the doctrine and everything else. The Tupaz Church. The problem today is people pattern themselves after the wrong people and things. Oh, and it'd be like that. That's why they dress the way they do these days. That's why they look like this. All of our culture has gone is deteriorating. And when you see us someone that's, you know, she didn't have to dress to look like that. It isn't about money. Does she have any sense? Of course, I'm from another generation. You know, it had its problems. But it had some things going for it. I kind of think America reached a high point like this, and now we're way down here, justifying all kinds of stuff that should have never been justified. We have, by the way, America used to be the pride of the world. They go, whoa. Now we're becoming the laughingstock. From our political leaders all the way across the board. Flipping, flopping all over the place. Saying some of the, this is the best you can do? Apparently so. It is used as a pattern for believers to follow or not follow, as the case may be in 1 Corinthians 10:6. Here, the contrast with spiritual bullying is that good leaders are those who serve the needs of their respective flocks. I never want you to feel bullied. And I never want to use the pulpit as a bully pulpit. Yes, I will speak with authority. And I will expose evil. And I will condemn actions and activity that is wrong. I got to do that. What would I be then? I'd be like the rest of them. I can imagine in a lot of these churches, don't criticize that even though you know it's wrong. Because you know you got X number of members out there who are, or their children are, involved in the gay scene. And you wouldn't want to point out to people that this is a violation and a major violation of God's will for people. What do you think the prophets of old did? Went out there and sued everybody over while they were involved up to their ears in idolatry? No, they went straight to them. Now, I don't have to go to the general public. They'd stone me to death. I just have to teach the people that come through these doors and witness to anybody I possibly can. Those who are bullies, the final point, do not care about others. Lacking compassion and humility. Yeah, people are going to treat you bad from time. You know, we know from Scripture there are certain things, just let it go. It's just words. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.